Robert Schreider is a Roman Catholic theologian and missiologist. He's written a number of very important books on the topic of reconciliation. He makes the very important observation that as a student of reconciliation, truth and reconciliation commissions and process around the world, he makes the very important observation that he can't find a single instance where reconciliation happens because someone who was an oppressor decided that they wanted to do good. Now, this is a very important thing for Canada to realize. Oppressors are, as a part of this systemic evil, are generally locked in ways of thinking and acting that are habitual and embedded. And so the way in which people have been trained to look at Indigenous people, the way Indigenous people have been trained to look at themselves, is embedded and habitual. When does reconciliation begin to happen? Again, Schreider says it's not because people who have been perpetrators in an oppressive system wake up one morning and decide, well, I think it's time for me to do good. What he says is very significant, and for the Canadian experience, vital and essential for us to understand. He says that reconciliation happens when an oppressed group wakes up to their oppression and begins to reclaim their humanity. Begins to reclaim their humanity. What happens, he says, is they go from being victims to being survivors. And this process of going from being victims to survivors creates the forces of good, the forces of change, the forces of healing that lead to reconciliation. And he points out that things begin to happen, these forces begin to move through society, creating change and creating a new way of thinking and acting and living, which begins to dismantle the forces of oppression within society. So in Canada's case, the residential school survivors waking to the oppression that had happened to them and waking to their own humanity, reclaim that humanity, and they begin to set in motion the forces of healing and reconciliation that we are a part of today. So the 94 calls to action, on the one hand, trace those forces and how they have begun to influence Canadian society, institutions, and culture, but they also seek to provide a framework for the ongoing continuation of that healing. So what we have experienced is the confrontation of what might be called systemic good with systemic evil, and the forces that have been unleashed by the courageous acts of survivors are now beginning to have their influence and their healing effect upon all of our society. Now, we as Christians should not be surprised about this. As Schreider himself likes to point out, there are literally dozens and dozens of stories of reconciliation and the power of reconciliation, both in the stories of Jesus and the stories about Jesus and about his followers in the New Testament. What they describe is something that is really quite remarkable. Normally, in our minds, we look upon reconciliation as following a certain pathway. A wrongdoer is confronted by their evil. They are convicted of that evil. They become remorseful of that evil, and then they repent and they turn around. That's the normal path and pattern that we associate with reconciliation. What Schreider points out is that in situations like the one that we're a part of, and in situations that he documents around the world, there is another thing that happens, and that is that as an oppressed group of people move from being victims to survivors, they release these forces of good and healing and reconciliation in such a way that there is a almost miraculous transformation of people, institutions, and culture within a society, so that instead of understanding evil, repentance, and then reconciliation, what he points out is that you can see reconciliation, a group of people who have found themselves in the face of great, massive evil, who have found themselves in that place and who courageously stand up to reclaim their humanity. And that begins the forces that repairs the damaged humanity of those entrapped and enmeshed in the systems of systemic evil that have influenced so much of society. What I would like to suggest is that the Christian disciplines that we read about in the New Testament that have been a part of our practice are designed to help us discern systemic evil and to free ourselves from the grip of that evil. We, of course, are recognizing that we were a part of that great evil. But now, I think that we are called upon to develop what Melanie Delva spoke about when she was here a month ago, the spiritual practice of reconciliation, the spiritual practice of awareness, discernment, and freedom from the grip of systemic evil and the way that it corrupts life, the way it distorts thinking, the way that it distorts life. And so I would like to suggest that for us, we are in this period of healing when the forces of reconciliation are beginning to flow through our society, through our culture, through our churches, that we as people, and I don't think that this is unique to Christian people or that Christian people have a unique advantage. What I'm trying to underline, however, is that the practice of the fullness of a humanity that confronts the world's predisposition at times, a weakness for systemic evil, that we are to practice a type of freedom from it. To being aware of it, but to live in a way of freedom from it. What I'd like to do, I think that I've gone about 45 minutes, And what I'd like to do is to talk with you a little bit to see if what I've said is clear as mud, or if we can talk a little bit so that I can clarify what I'm talking about. I realize that what I had to say is not necessarily, they're not necessarily easy concepts, and they aren't, and what I am trying to say is designed to counter the way I think most of us are trained to think about evil and how evil works. I think also that what I said is designed to counter the way we think about healing and reconciliation. And both of those things are important to us as Christian people. So, here. Thank you.
I'd like to start, if that's okay. Bishop Mark, could you say more about how reconciliation, like the unleashing of forces of reconciliation, which you talked about, how that also liberates oppressors?
Yes.
Or those on the privileged side of society.
Yes, yeah. I think that Martin Luther King gave his I Have a Dream speech a little over 50 years ago. It was a spectacular moment. It had huge impact. What he did there is very important because he made a pivot in that speech from what he had been doing prior to that moment and what the movement had been doing, an important pivot. So he and many others had established a strong case that everyone or large numbers of, not everyone for sure, but large numbers of people in the society accepted. And that is the idea that a great wrong had been done to African Americans in American culture, not only because of slavery, but in what had happened in terms of Jim Crow and the systemic oppression and prejudice that African Americans were still very much operating under. What he does in that speech is remarkable in that he says everyone has a stake in a new America. Everyone has a stake. And he begins to portray an America where the people who had benefited, who on the surface had benefited from this system, began to reap the benefits of reconciliation, reap the benefits of a new way of life. The way in which people have looked at the oppression of indigenous people in Canada often separates those who benefit from that oppression and those who are victims of that oppression. So when I became the National Indigenous Anglican Bishop 10 years ago, I was often approached by people who said, well, we know you guys have a lot to work out. You have a lot of difficulties and problems, and we'll just let you get on with it, and we won't bother you. Just go on and do your healing, and we'll be here for you when you get done. The idea was clear that everything is fine in our world, in our society. You guys have to do the work. You guys have to do the work. Healing is something that you have to do. I think that what's happened, and the Truth and Reconciliation Commission has helped to make that clear, is that the entire Canadian society has been warped, distorted, influenced, infected by the way in which colonialism has influenced us culturally, politically, legally, in all sorts of ways. And so when the forces of healing happen, we're talking about a vision for a new future. Elijah Harper, that great chief, Elijah Harper would speak about this. Reconciliation, in his mind, was a return to the original vision of Canada, which he said was the idea that Canada could welcome people from all over the world, that it was such a great land that it could welcome people from all over the world, and in cooperation and working together, we could create a better society for our children and grandchildren. What I think is happening is that large parts of the Canadian population and large part of the Canadian culture is realizing that the ideas of colonialism have infected not just those who are the victims of it, but also those who are the beneficiaries of it, or the supposed beneficiaries of it. And now, what indigenous people are called is to reclaim their humanity. All of Canada is called to repair repair humanity. And so we are called by the experience and the recognition of this great evil, we are called to a new way of life, to a life of justice, a life of peace, a life of hospitality and goodness, a life of welcome for all people who are a part of this society. So when I was in South Africa, and I'll close with this, hopefully, maybe I gave you more than you wanted, but there were two things. I was in South Africa to speak about our experience of truth and reconciliation. There were two things that really stood out. One, they said, truth and reconciliation is about what will no longer be acceptable, what lies will no longer be acceptable in a society. That was number one. Number two, truth and reconciliation is not so much about the future. Excuse me, it's not so much about the past, it's about the future. It's building a new future, a new way of life. And so all Canadians, all of us, are called to the healing and the repair of the way in which our thinking, our acting, our behaving was distorted by colonization. That's in that. I keep on saying I'm almost done, but I'm almost done. The way in which systemic evil operates, it becomes so much a part of the way that you think that it's hard to recognize the way it influences. And it is as if Canadian society is waking from a stupor that kept it that way. Quick story. I was the rector of a church in Portland, Oregon for 5 years. After I left, they sent me the profile that they developed to give to those who were going to apply for my job. And so it was a history of the parish, but it also talked about the work I had done as their priest. In it, it said this: our rector spent 75% of his time outside of the parish. I read that with shock. So I called up a friend of mine who was still on staff, and I said, what on earth does it mean that I spent 75% of my time outside of the parish? And he giggled, and he said, you told someone that you spent 75% of your time dealing with people who had drug and alcohol problems. Well, they knew that wasn't them. Do you get the picture? We can participate in a reality, and it can be a huge part of our reality, but we don't see it. We don't see it. And it takes a while to wake up to these things. And that's what I think is happening. So.